Well, I ask for your prayers this afternoon. Lord, bless this portion of His Word and make it a blessing and a challenge and an encouragement to us. The song we started out the service with asked us the question, do we triumph? Oh, my brother. That'd be maybe a disheartening question to ask or song to sing if the answer could only be no. If there was no hope of anything otherwise. But I'm thankful that the Lord came to allow us to have the victory. Whatever battle, whatever way that the enemy tries to oppose us, that the Lord has come that we might be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I'd like to begin in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, read here a familiar passage of the writings of Paul. Paul is considered to be a man that was very successful. We still today draw encouragement and challenge and instruction from Paul's writings. Not only his words, but by looking on his life and the testimony of it and being able to look back upon a life that we see the end, we can look back and see the process and the course of a life and see the faithfulness of it. The scripture says to mark the perfect man. Take good notice of that because the end of that man is peace. There are many times bestsellers that make the bestseller books list. They tell the secret to success, how to be able to make my millions and how I succeeded, the effectual or the effective habits of highly successful people and so forth. I want to know, what is the secret? What is it that enabled you to get to the place that you're at today? We can name different books and different instances, but it's something that many times captures the interest of people. Because who wants to be a failure? Who really starting out in life says, you know, the aim that I have in life is I want to be a failure. I want to make a flop out of my life. This thing that I'm about to start into, I don't really intend to succeed. I intend to get started into it and I intend to collapse somewhere along the way and to not finish the course that I've started, the race that's set before me. I intend to start off with a bang, but I intend to drop out before the race is over. But you know, many people do. Many people start out in a race and before they get to the finish line, they drop out. But the Apostle Paul was one that he came all the way down to the time that he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I'm to the end of it now. By the grace of God, I am who I am. Oh, I'm interested in hearing what the Apostle Paul had to say. If I could have had a few of those moments or those times with him to visit, Brother Paul, can you share something with me? What made you successful? Well, let's read some of what he wrote here. Beginning in the 24th verse of 1 Corinthians 9. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said that I've learned something here. I've learned that if I want to win the race, if I want to be able to run successfully, I'm going to have to lay off some things. I'm going to have to be temperate in all things. There's going to be some denying that I have to do so that I can win the race. We're aware and know of the discipline that people put themselves through, the training, the grueling schedule, the things that they do to try to discipline their body, to try to exercise and to try to prepare and build up their stamina. because they have a goal in mind, because they want to win a race, or they're entering into the triathlon or whatever. And I know that I've got to deny I can't just eat whatever I want to eat. I can't just get whatever amount of sleep. There are some things that I need to do if I'm going to be successful. So Paul here, of course, talking about more than a literal race. I'm running a race here, a race for my soul. And he says, even in this race, I keep under my body. My burden this afternoon is the governance of the Spirit. You know, the Apostle Paul realized a need for a governor. He realized a need to have some discipline in his life. Whenever, because he saw a goal and he said, I want to win. I want to get to the end of this thing. I want to do it right. I want to be successful at this. So he said, I bring under my body. Remember, Brother Stanley, I remember as a young person, him explaining that to me, and he said, you know, the Apostle Paul had to give himself, if you look in the Greek of the words here, you can get the sense that the Apostle Paul said he had to give himself a punch under the eye. He had to discipline himself. He had to bring under his body. You know, every one of us need a governor. Governance is the government. The exercise of authority. The way that you rule over a nation or over a city, or the way that you have authority. You know, the Lord has given us authority. The Lord has come to give us power and authority. We sang the song, "We are kings anointed to." You know, the Lord has called us to be kings and priests. A king has dominion, doesn't he? There is a King of kings and a Lord of lords that is over all and above all and in you all, that enables us in this present life to reign, to be victorious, to triumph over sin, to be able to rise above sin. You know, there's something here that the Apostle Paul said, even as a Christian, even as an apostle of Jesus Christ, there's something that I have to govern here. There's something here about me that needs to be governed. I have to bring under myself. Bible says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that believe not. You know, this is what the cross is. It's self-denial. It's about dying out to the flesh and the flesh's desires and wants and needs, and dying out to that. Paul said, I do it daily. I die daily. There's a daily dying out that has to happen. There's a daily crucifixion. I take up, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, if you want to follow me, then any man that wants to do that, you must deny yourself. You know, that's something our world's not very good at. Not just they're not good at it, they're powerless to do it. Our world is in a place that you see it on every hand. They follow every impulse, it seems like, of the flesh. Whatever desire, whatever inclination pops up, whatever perverted, twisted desire or thought that the enemy places in their mind, don't say that I can't do that. Don't say that I don't have the right to go pursue that. I want to do this, so I ought to be able to do it. And the mindset of so many people today is, don't tell me no. Don't tell me I can't. Children today, and I'm saying in our public schools and in just many children in the world, oh teacher, don't you tell me I can't talk. Don't you tell me that I can't do this. There's nobody that can tell me what I don't want to do. A rebellious people today. Every impulse, every desire of the flesh. It seems that we see that in the time of Noah. Of all the wicked imagination and the thoughts that were in their mind and the things that they devised and followed after and pursued after. But aren't we instructed to pursue after rather godliness? The things that this world is pursuing after, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We see it even in advertisements, and never says you deserve this. Don't have the money for it, that's all right. Go, just tell yourself yes. Just treat yourself. Just whatever you want. If you see something and you want to buy it, but you don't have the money for it, but it looks shiny and it looks flashy and you wish you had one of those too, we'll let you do it. We don't want to let something like that stand in the way. We don't want to let you not have a money stand in the way of buying this toy or that trinket or this device and all these things. You see, whatever your mind goes after. And I've known of folks that have walked away from the Lord that are out in sin, and it seems like they spend their life pursuing, chasing after this thing and chasing after something else, and they lose interest in that, and then they go into something else and they pursue that with all their heart, and that doesn't fulfill them, and they go and pursue something else. The world says, if you want it, just do it. If it feels good to you, just do it. Whatever you feel, just go do it. But as we spoke about Wednesday evening, we're called to a higher purpose. We're called to something higher than that. We're not called to be like the animal kingdom that just pursues after where am I going to eat next and what am I going to drink next and how can I defend myself and all of those. But we're called to a higher calling. We're called to be saints of Jesus Christ. He's called us to something more than that. So let's turn and look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and the 32nd verse says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. To be able to rule your own spirit. You know, it's why the Lord enables us to do. It's why the Lord, He wants to govern us. He's given us the spirit that we heard about. He breathed into man the breath of life. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. You know, the Lord is the one that wants to inform our spirit, that wants to govern our spirit. While the world chases after whatever my spirit rises up within me, or my flesh really rises up, and whatever impulse or inclination or desire that I have, I go after. Anybody can do that. But to be able to discipline myself, to be able to say no to the flesh, to be able to say no whenever the flesh says, I want to do this, I want to do that. You know, you should answer them that way. To be able to be governed by something that governs my feelings, my emotions, that is a governor to me, to know how to control those things so that they don't control me. To be able to know how that I might still feel the feeling of fear, but that I'm governed in my spirit so that I don't give myself over to that, to the spirit of fear. That I be governed in my spirit, that I can feel righteous indignation as Jesus did. But I don't give myself over to the anger of the flesh and of carnality. To be able to be governed. The Bible talks about in James, the little member. Remember what that little member is? The tongue. And how great a fire that little member can cause. What great trouble it can cause by that little tongue. You know, we need a governor over our tongue. A governor over the things that I say. I believe David said it this way in one place. He said, Lord, set a watch before my mouth. Lord, keep me. Keep a governor over me. Because I don't want to just pursue the way of the flesh. I want to be able, as the Apostle Paul, to know how to bring under, to bring into subjection the flesh. If you can do that, If we, by the grace of God, can do this, we'll be mightier than he that takes the city. We'll be mightier than he that's able to scale the walls and throw them down and overtake the city. There's something that Alexander the Great wasn't able to do. In conquering so much of the world, Alexander the Great was never able to conquer himself. There's something mightier. There's something greater than man's ability. It's more than self-governance. Because I'm not able to really govern myself by my own strength, by my own abilities, to be able to discipline. Oh, there are people that have some rigors of discipline, and I know folks that in exercise and working out and things like that, they're willing to sacrifice, they're willing to deny themselves, they're willing to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go faithfully to the gym and work out. You know, bodily exercise profiteth little. Maybe there's some profit in there, but there's something more valuable than that. There's something more valuable to be able to bring under my body to the glory of God, to the obedience of Christ, to be able to bring every thought into captivity. You see, the Lord has called us to be kings. He's called us to rule. He's given us authority. Whenever he came and he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men and he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I saw him overthrown. I saw the hold of his power broken in a very high ecclesiastical place in the hearts of men, where Satan ruled and they were servants to do his will and his bidding, that we're now delivered and raised in glory and honor above that. Thank the Lord that he's able to take a legion and he's able to deliver from the furthest reaches of that power and that influence. But you know, the Lord didn't just design and plan for legion. This is a one-time thing, legion. I'll deliver you now, but you're on your own after this. But there was a work that he wanted to do with legion and all who have come since then, to govern us, to guide us. Well, before we get too much further in that direction, let's look at Proverbs 25. I want to look at the contrast of this. 25 and 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. There's no boundaries. There's nothing that is able to... There's nothing off limits anymore. There's nothing that contains me. There's nothing that keeps me in check. If I don't have a rule over my own spirit, over my own appetites and my own desires and my own emotions and feelings and all these things that we deal with, that we're encumbered about by, if I don't learn by the grace and the help of God to be able to rule over those things, will be like a man that the defenses of the walls about him is overrun. In our world, whenever they start out pursuing this little pleasure of sin and this little pleasure of the flesh, you know, the walls broke down. The walls of our nation began crumbling as people started turning their back on God and sanctioning this sin and sanctioning this abomination, and the walls crumbled. And it begins, sure enough, a wise man at that time could have looked and said, it's coming, and it's here, and it's coming more. As that progresses more and more, because the walls are broken down, because the defenses are broken down, I haven't learned to be able to hold my passions in check. I haven't learned what to do with the lust and the desires of the flesh. I follow its bidding. And then we see that taking in our world today, taking so many different forms that are just wicked and awful and advancing. And it's touching children. And you hear in the news of these rings that are being busted of children that were pulled into this kind of thing. And I think, Lord, how? Why? How could you get to that kind of a place? How could you allow your desires to be so perverted and twisted? By allowing the walls to be broken down? By not ruling over your own spirit? Because if you don't rule over your own spirit, if you're not governed by the Spirit of God, you will be governed by something else. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you walk in the flesh, guess what? You're not going to follow after the Spirit. They're contrary the one to the other, and they are both warring for our souls. May the Lord help us to be able to deny the flesh, to be able to say no to myself, to be able to yield myself rather as servants unto righteousness, to rule our spirit well. You know that the Lord has forbidden sin. The Lord has very clearly put a penalty of death on sin. He's told the woman caught in adultery, I forgive you. Go and sin no more. Don't continue to walk in sin. Don't continue to walk in death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Adam and Eve, whenever they sinned, they died a spiritual death. And they began a process of physical death. There was a dying, a death that began to take place there. Because of sin. Because of the effects of sin that it had on people. It was a process of dying and of death. So the Lord said, don't touch it. Don't touch the unclean thing. Don't allow what fellowship hath Christ with Belial? What fellowship does darkness have with light? You can't merge the two. Keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Keep yourselves separate from the uncleanness of the world. So then I say, well, Lord, how? I need a governor. I need something to tell me what to do and what not to do, what's right and what's not right. In the Old Testament, they had a law that said, if you do this, you'll die. If you do this, here's the punishment of it. Here's the law that's spelled out before you. So what have we today? We have a law still. A law that he said, I'll write down in the tables of your heart. I'm going to walk with you and I'll be to you a God. You know, the Lord, as part of the governance of the Spirit, the Scripture says in Isaiah 30 that you'll hear a voice behind you, 21. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. When you turn to the right or the left, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You know, there is a governor that's given to us to be able to keep us and teach us. We won't turn to this either for the sake of time, but Exodus chapter 19, we read of whenever the Lord told Moses, he said, separate the people and I'm going to present myself unto them. I want you to tell the people to prepare themselves. And he said, if they go and touch the mount, they'll be killed. They'll lose their life if they get too close to the mount as an unclean people. So don't go and touch it. You know, we could say, don't go touch the mountain. There are many people that say, well, that's the very thing I want to go do. I want to see what really happens. You tell me don't go touch the mountain, just because of that, I'm going to go touch the mountain. There are other people that say, well, okay, I hear you. I don't want to go touch the mountain. But you know, that doesn't look like a mountain to me. There are others that say, well, okay, I'm not going to touch the mountain. That's sin. That's sin. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to commit sin. But I'm going to see just how close I can get to it. Not touching it yet. Not touching it yet. As close as they can get to that mountain. So you know what the Lord told Moses? He said, go and set thee bounds round about the mountain, that they not cross over this point. There's a safe boundary. Because I'm not interested. When my mindset is as we started, Lord, I want to win this race. Lord, I don't want anything to hinder me. I don't want anything to interfere with my being able to run the race. I don't want to get so close that the least little wind blows me over and I fall on the mountain and die. I know what the penalty of it is, and I don't want to get that close to it. So there are boundaries that are safe boundaries. The house that we bought this last year has a basement in it, and a couple of you have seen it. Basement you walk through, and part of it's pretty short, and I'm pretty tall, and I don't know how many times I've hit my head. And I think after the first time, surely I'd learn. I'll walk right through it again and bang, leave my either a print in my head or leave a little bit of the hair that I have left stuck in one of the ducts up above there in the seam there. And I do it again. You know, I'm starting to learn finally, maybe a little bit of a slow learner. But if you see me walking through that, I practically am bent over double. And you say, why are you, you've got 2 foot of clearance above your head now, but I've hit my head enough times, I ain't gonna risk it. I don't want to say, you know what, I still got about a half centimeter to clear. Here I go, right through, and I miscalculated. I'm gonna have a little bit of extra protection, because I know there's danger, or in this case, there's some injury here. I don't want to do that again. You know, when it comes to the matters of my soul, how much more important is it? This isn't about bumping my head. This isn't about stubbing my toe. But Lord, I want to have some safe boundaries in my life. If my heart is, Lord, I want to run the race. Not just to say I'm running it. Not just to say, well, I'm in with the pack running along like everybody else. That's not why I'm here, Lord. Because there's a crown laid up for me and I want to win that crown, and I know to win that crown, I'm going to have to lay off the flesh. I know I'm going to have to bring under my body. So we said our burden is the governance of the Spirit. You know the Spirit's our governor. The Lord came to clean a vessel, to set us free, but that wasn't the end of the work. He knew that we still had flesh to contend with. Knew that we still had a nature and we still had flesh that would rise up and that would be so inherent to our nature that would incline us in a certain way, that would influence, that would make me always, whether I even realize it or not, would make me inclined to look out for my own interest and what things comfort me and what things I enjoy and what things the flesh wants. The Lord knew, I've delivered you from the bondage of sin. But I want to give you a governor. I want to give you, so disciples, stay in Jerusalem. Tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. Until I send the Holy Spirit, your comforter, that will guide you in all truth, that will teach you all things, that will teach you the boundaries. When I'm honest, when I'm sincere, Lord, I know this thing over here is sin. But Lord, is this getting too close? You know the Spirit. I trust the Holy Spirit that He is able to reveal to every honest heart the right way. You shall hear a word, a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walking. No, you're getting a little close there. No, you spoke a little harsh. Lord, I didn't even realize it. No, you know what you did there? I was motivated out of pride. Lord, I didn't. Thank you, Lord. I need that governor. I need that check. I need to be able, whenever the flesh starts to try to rise up, I need something that'll check that and say, no, you get back under. You get back down. For the Lord to help me to know, Lord, what are the proper boundaries in my life? You remember the passage in Ecclesiastes 3? It says, there is a time for everything. And a season to everything under the sun. There's a time to laugh and a time to mourn and all of those things. There's a time and a season. You know, it's not always within my wisdom to know what time is what. Lord, I need a governor. I need to know that, keep getting ahead of myself, Lord help us here, that as the scripture says, there are some things that are lawful unto me, but they're not expedient. There are some things that are lawful unto me, but they don't edify. Lord, I need to be able to know. I need to have a check or a governor on my spirit when I can say, well, Lord, there's nothing wrong in saying that. That is the truth, and they needed to hear it. Lord, I need a governor. I need a governor to tell me, yes, but maybe that's not the right time. A word fitly spoken, see, is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. It didn't just say a word is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. But when it's fitly spoken, whenever the Holy Spirit is my governor and I allow Him and I listen to His voice, He'll guide me. He'll check me where and when I need to be checked. We hear and we speak of Holy Spirit leadership. You know, we need that. The government is upon His shoulder, the prophecy of Jesus. The government is not upon our shoulders. Thank the Lord that we don't bear the weight of that. But do you know, for Holy Spirit leadership to work, who's the church made up of? It's made up of us, isn't it? It's made up of members in the body. So if the Holy Spirit is going to govern His church, who will He be governing? He'll be governing me, and He'll be governing you. And whenever I listen to His voice at home, on the job, in the store, wherever I am, and I listen to His voice, and I listen to His check, and He tells me, no, don't say that. Or He tells me, no, you'd be better off to just not even spend your time on that. You'd be better off to not... And I say, yes, Lord. You know, whenever we come together then, the Holy Spirit is able to lead amongst us collectively. And whenever I have learned the sound of His voice, whenever I have learned when the Holy Spirit says, you need to speak this. You know, there's a different time for this. You know, it'll do the same for me when I'm in service. Whenever we come together and sometimes there's something out of order. Sometimes, especially you get into a large camp meeting setting or something like that, and somebody gets up and they just have something they want to say, and they just want to talk without edifying. And it's evident that there's not, oh Lord, help him. Lord, help him to be able to see that this isn't the time. Everybody else just seems like can see it. Lord, help that not to be me. I want to hear His voice. I don't want to wait to camp meeting to find out that I haven't been as attentive to His voice as I should be. Learn at home. Learn at your home and in your home congregation. Lord, help me to be governed by the Spirit. He'll set boundaries. He'll teach us the way. It said, he that striveth for the mastery, in that passage we read in 1 Corinthians 9, is temperate in all things. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. I believe we'll end here. Galatians chapter 5. Speaking of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the enemy hates the Holy Spirit. Of course he does. He hates God. He hates everything that He is. The Holy Spirit and the power that He gives to our lives and the way that He guides us and everything that He is, He's diametrically opposed to. So you know, He is the author of confusion. So He has introduced so much confusion in the world today of what the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit will do for you. So many folks say the Holy Spirit comes and you'll start gibbering and something you don't even know what you're saying. Is that the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll fall out on the floor, you'll be slain in the Spirit. Roll around and make some babblings and some noise and kick your legs and boy, the Spirit sure on them. Is that what the Spirit came to do? I say there's a greater power than that. There's something so much more precious and wonderful and personal about the working of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that's just worked up in a big frenzy or an emotional experience when a bunch of people together. But it's the still small voice we take home with us that guides us, that checks us, that gives us power to bring under the body whenever I need to do that. The fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit is this. Galatians 5:22. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That last word goes right along with what Paul said. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. The fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit, one of them is temperance. May the Lord help us. And I say, Lord, as you guide me in my walk with you, teach me more. Lord, help me to know more how to control even those things that are lawful. But there are times that maybe they're just not expedient. There are times that I need to be able to know when enough is enough. That I need to be able to have a discernment of wisdom and of time and of propriety and of all these things. Lord, I need this governor. I don't want to be so pompous as to get up in the morning and think I got this day whipped. I can handle today. Lord, I can't. I don't know what I'm going to face. Lord, check me. Guide me. The Lord has a way in that sweet, gentle spirit of guiding us, directing us, if we'll listen to it. If we'll be in tune with His Spirit, and as I yield myself, talk to young people sometimes that, oh, they want a closer walk with the Lord and to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and what is the Holy Spirit wanting to do with my life and so forth. And I say, let's back up a little bit. It starts at home. It starts with learning that sweet, still, small. The song says, I know the sweet sound of His voice. To be able to learn His voice. To be able to recognize that I not be so headstrong, or that I not be so impulsive as to be able to jump in. Wasn't that kind of the way Peter was? That it seemed like he had opened his mouth and the first thing that came to his mind, that's what came out. And he had let it fly and speak his mind. Peter, you're one of them. Wait in Jerusalem. Because I'm not trying to take your personality away, but I want to govern it. And every one of our personality, you know, whatever our, there are some that are more mild natured, more reserved, more quiet. There are some that are more impulsive, more out in front. You know, I could look at the way I am and say, boy, that's the way you ought to be. But you know, there's a downfall to every one of our personalities if it's not governed by the Holy Spirit. If we don't allow Him to take it, to temper it, to change us into the image of His Son. And I'm so thankful He's faithful to do that. That He's invested enough in us that He's willing to patiently apply a little more pressure here. Teach me, remind me, to show me again, because the Lord is interested in us winning this race. And to do that, He'll have to govern our spirit, to govern us, that we would allow Him to govern us and to keep us in check. You pray for me. Amen.